Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We've got to go straight in with some big breaking news.
Lewis is going to win the world championship.
That one?
That is quite a nice follow-on to the F1 special I did earlier in the week with Paul. If you don't listen to my other podcast series, After the Chequered Flag, go check it out because, yeah, we got slightly controversial. I think only controversial if you're a Max Verstappen fan. But, yeah, anyway, it was a big episode earlier in this week that I do with Paul, who I now officially made a co-host of that series.
Oh,
he
bless him.
He was so happy.
Yeah, I bet he was, yeah.
But anyway, let's not get distracted because, oh, my God, out of nowhere and hot off the press, Autocar, gotta love Autocar on this podcast, have just posted a headline that says Audi buys McLaren Group.
So, I would have been absolutely flabbergasted, not surprised, flabbergasted at this news had Paul Wallace not just shown me a clip.
So Paul ruined it for us because I was hoping to really catch you off guard with this. It's caught me off guard. So supposing now, the thing is, obviously, we're recording this at the beginning of the week. It may be that by the time this episode is released to the general public, a reminder, patrons get access to these episodes a few days earlier than the rest of you. But, you know, this story could have developed, so we might know more. So if you're sitting here being like, why are these guys and what's going on? So, yeah, apologies if there's more information that's now hit the line. But so far, we've got an Autocar source.
So what have they bought?
Reports that Audi's bought the McLaren Group. That's racing, automotive. I think Applied Technologies got sold off, didn't it? Separately, or maybe, no, I think maybe Applied Technologies as well. So they bought the whole group, and it kind of all is slightly starting to fall into place because there was this weird moment where the Mike Fluitt, the CEO who's been CEO really, well, not since day one, but for a whole chunk of time, randomly and unexpectedly sort of stepped down not
well,
that long ago.
To. We don't make any money.
Well, I know, but like...
Well, what's the point of a CEO if you don't make any money?
He was a bit of a Claire Williams, you know, it was always someone else's fault.
Oh, right.
And then finally, like Clay, decided to step on his own sword or fall on his own sword.
But stops at the top, by the way.
But maybe that needed to happen before Audi did the deal. Maybe they said, we'll sign it, but Mike Fluitt's got to go.
Yeah.
Now, the other reason that this kind of falls into place is there's been a lot of talk and speculation recently about the Volkswagen Group wanting into F1. And there's obviously a lot of, sort of changes coming with the money structure, but also the technology, the engines, all these different things. And there's just been these sort of rumours that VW are interested in getting back involved with the sport. Now, if you're the Volkswagen Group, do you think, let's start our own team. Let's start at point zero and build a team from scratch.
No.
Or do you think, let's just buy our way into an already very successful team?
It's cheaper.
100%.
Cheaper and you buy get yourself in.
And a much better chance of actual success. Mm. So what this would do would allow them to probably build their own power units come 2025 when the new units are coming in that will probably be super green, hybrid, synthetic fuel-fueled engines that are appropriate for road car development.
Yeah.
Badge them as Audi, Porsche, or whatever that might be, and it's the McLaren powered by Audi.
Yeah.
Bish, bash, bosh. So it's kind of making sense. And the reason I'm getting most excited is it means McLarens might have some actually good electronics in them.
Well, we've seen what Germans over the years have done for Italian and UK brands, as in Lamborghini, Bentley, Aston Martin are still not that good, but they're
hold on a second. No. Another topic for today is the fact that you are now an Aston Martin dealer. So no. We'll come back to that. But yeah, go on.
But obviously the cars are better than what they were, because they have some German influence. There's plenty of other brands out there as well. Rolls-Royce, owned by BMW.
Well, it helps to bring in the sort of underpinnings of, yeah, the German tech, the sort of the parts where sometimes independent brands struggle to compete with the big German conglomerates.
Yeah.
And we now, well, we know that Audi or the VW Group's infotainment systems are some of the best in the business. And it's an area where McLaren have famously been lacking is their reliability of electronic components.
Yeah. I mean, I will put you up on that bit because Audi and VW Group at the moment in their road cars have terrible infotainment systems.
No way, really?
Yeah, because they went from outsourcing all their infotainment systems, which is what most of them do, to making them themselves, and they've royally ballsed it up. I mean,
what about the digital cockpit?
Yeah, I mean, they're very good, but what I'm saying is that from like 2020, from 2020 or 2019, they made their own infotainment systems, and they got proper. So like the new Golf R or the new Golf GTI, the new Audis, they have infotainment problems.
Really?
Yeah, because it's made in-house now as opposed to outsourced.
Bloody, I had no idea. Great insight there, Tony.
No problem.
You've surprised me there. Okay, so maybe this isn't the thing that I wanted McLaren
to... but in general, you are right. As in, me definitely have said that I'll never buy another McLaren again.
I would now. Yeah. So let's wait and see. By, as I say, Thursday, when this episode comes out, this story might have been squashed, or we might find out more information. So we'll have to pick up on it again in a future episode. But as a sort of headline to hit our desks just before we started recording, pretty jaw-dropping.
It's a very exciting time now, actually, for McLaren, because they will sort them out, because that's what the Germans do. You
absolutely
know, they'll throw some real money at it. And we've seen from, take Lamborghini as an example, since they've been taken over by a VW group, they've gone from strength to strength, Lamborghini. So
keep flying that flag, don't we, for how great they are. So potentially very exciting news. Let's watch this space. And as a Formula One fan, it would be amazing to see the VW group into the sport in whatever shape or form, with their own team, as an engine supplier, maybe as both. I mean, who knows? Let's wait and see. But yeah, cool and potentially exciting news, which we will pick up again in future episodes.
Do you think they'll have their own? They've got to have their own engines, right? I mean, that'll be the whole point in F1.
Sorry, in F1, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Because if Mercedes now, they won't want that.
They would be totally dumbfounded. It would be the weirdest thing ever to rebrand McLaren Racing as Audi. Like, that would make no sense at all. And if you are the VW group, surely the attraction of Formula One at the moment is the hybrid technology, the synthetic or sustainable fuels that they're all working towards. Like, that's got to be like, okay, we want to be involved in this R&D, because Formula One has proven itself over and over again to be the most amazing test bed for road car technology. Flappy paddle gearboxes, ABS, you know, launch control.
Ceramic brakes,
pit lane speed limiters. They're on cars, you know. So all of these different things have really funneled down from Formula One. So I think that's where they're going in, and probably a better route to be an engine supplier to a great historic team than having Porsche's own team. I don't know. Let's wait and see.
Well, they're not newbies, we know, into motorsport, because Porsche and Audi and Lamborghini have huge influence in motorsport anyway, you know, in GT3, in GT2, in Le Mans, in, you know, Porsche have their own series around the world. Obviously, Porsche Super Cup, which follows part of the F1 calendar as well. You know, so
they know what they're doing.
They're bringing a huge amount of knowledge in anyway.
But weirdly, never really in Formula One.
No.
They dilly-dathered, I think, Audi way back in the days when, what was Audi's original name? Anyway, I think they did enter a car into a race or two. Porsche supplied some engines to Porsche tag engines. Lamborghini tried with the Lambo V12 for McLaren. And Volkswagen Were Jaguar owned by? Oh, Jaguar owned by Ford, were they?
They're owned by Ford, yeah.
When they did Formula One back
and Volvo for a time.
Oh, okay. Mm. So anyway, so it's going to be interesting and fascinating to see, but yeah, cool story to kick things off.
Yeah.
So I'll come back to something that I just mentioned a while ago, the fact that you seem to have become an Aston Martin dealer in the last few weeks. So I think we've spoken about the fact that you've got a lovely black Vantage in stock at the moment,
yeah,
which I saw earlier this week, a lovely looking car. But I was quite surprised when on, I don't know when it was, Friday, isn't it, that you sent me some messages because you just picked up a DBX that you've bought into
Correct.
Stock.
Yes, and we've said it before, just because I don't like a brand doesn't mean I can't sell them.
No, because somebody out there likes them.
Someone likes them, and that's no problem if you like what you like. For me, it's my business. I just have an opinion because I'm on here, like everyone else. So, yes, I have a DBX in stock. It's
price?
Very competitive.
If you want to know more, head over to Gravelwood Car Sales.
It's actually a really nice car. It's a Skyfall Silver, I think they call
it. It's got a sort of bluey hue to it.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, do you know what? As we all know, I'm not a huge fan of Aston Martin. But if someone put a gun to my head now, today, and said, you've got to buy an Aston Martin, it would be a DBX.
So this was the thing that sort of killed me / surprised me, is you called me, maybe Saturday morning, maybe the day after you picked it up.
I called you up on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, I have no idea about the times. And said, wow, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I quite like this DBX.
No. My words were...
I paraphrased.
You did paraphrase.
I'm buying a DBX. That's what you said.
I said, I'm actually going to give it a little bit more credit than because originally I just said it's a pile of poo, it's no good.
Useless.
And in certain scenarios, that is correct still. But there were certain elements I may have been a little bit harder than what I actually should have been. One is, let's not get over the elephant in the room. It's far too much money as a new car, for sure. The car I've got is 200 grand list. That is an absolute rip-off, by the way, for that car.
For what it is.
For that car, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for what it is. And actually, if you compare it to an SVR Range Rover, as a car, the SVR Range Rover is better because of the technology inside, for that reason. But then if you take the car and the infotainment system out of it, and just focus on the dynamics of it, the way it drives, the way it stops, the way it turns, it's next level to a Range Rover SVR.
Which I think, and I've said it before, and we've said it before, that is Aston Martin. Mm. So, you know, you don't buy an Aston because it's got best-in-class infotainment system, because it's got best-in-class interior quality, build quality, reliability, whatever. You buy it because it's an Aston. It sounds good, it goes good, it's fun to drive. It
looks nice,
a little bit different, it's classy, it's stylish, all these different elements. And that's true, I think, across the range. And heck, of course, they have built some dynamically very impressive cars. But I always think of them as, you know, picking them for something else. And I applauded the Urus for being a Lambo, being true to being a Lambo, whilst it wasn't very me, somehow they'd made a Lambo SUV. And so maybe the DBX is just an Aston SUV, and actually they've hit the nail on the head.
Well, it is, but like I said, I'll go back to the price. And as a used car, they are much better value.
I would say that.
They will have some... they will still fall,
yeah,
obviously, because they've got to. There's still a lot of money, mate.
Yeah.
But what car doesn't at 6 months or a year old? You know, they all do it. I mean, we're in peculiar times at the moment. But look at a Bentley. First 2 years of its ownership, it loses half of its money.
What?
So, and we can't get away from that. So,
no, of course, yeah.
And Aston, as a percentage, they do similar to Bentley. But then once they find their feet, and you know, we said on the SUV podcast, once that car gets to 100 grand, and by the way, that's it'd probably be 3 year old ones would be 100 grand. So we've got another couple of years. It's not been out that long. So we've got another couple of years to wait. But then actually, if you look on the used car market, they're 150, 160 now. If in 2 years' time they're 100 grand, and you're doing 25, 30 grand a year, well, that's no different to what you do in a Range Rover inherently. Yeah. So actually, it's not that bad, and they'll always command more money in a Range Rover because it's an Aston Martin. But I just don't think it's on that they can charge that money for that car, because I honestly think it's a sub 150 car new. That's what it.
But it's Aston Martin. It's the same as a Vantage. The new Vantage was 150 easily specced up, and as we've seen immediately, they're 95 grand cars. And if that car was a 95 plus option car, I think it would have sold like hotcakes much quicker than it did. But it's their sort of go to tactic to overprice the cars, and that's just now. Something that I wanted to pick up on, which Chris Harris posted on Twitter, or shared on Twitter, which I really needed to read, but I didn't have time to read over the weekend. It was a deep dive into Aston's most recent financial results. Because they came out, I think they said they were profitable in various areas. And someone's done a real analysis and really tried to understand exactly what that means. And it's really grim reading. And actually, when you start to pick it apart and see what those sales mean and which sales are to dealers and which sales are to individuals and targets and comparisons with other places in the market, the headline is, they're still in a lot of trouble, if not more trouble than ever. And the DBX, unfortunately, hasn't saved them.
Correct. And one, that's no surprise to me, because in Aston Martin's 100-year existence or more, there's probably only two or three years in that 100-year existence that they've actually made any money, which is why they've changed hands so many times, because people just can't get them to make any money. Which is probably why their products are expensive as well, because they're trying to get some money back. But just make it better, mate. I mean, you know, like if you can get a 50 grand car that's got updated technology with touchscreen, a 200 grand car that hasn't, I mean, it's not on.
And also dynamic, and I think we bang on about infotainment and in-car tech a lot on this podcast.
It's important.
It is, but it's important to us as well because we spend a lot of time in cars. We are, you know, if we just had toys, if we were, you know, weekend cars, whatever it might be, you know, you've got your family whip, but this is something that's a little toy. It's less important.
It's not a weekend toy, mate, that car.
No, but listen, hear me out for a second, because I do think for us, it takes more importance to have super top quality infotainment systems and tech, where the other problem is that dynamically as well, the Astons are fantastic, but not always necessarily great competitors. Would you have a new Vantage over a 911?
No chance.
No.
No chance.
So, you know, there's always things that differ. Like me, I pick an F-Type over a 911 because that's just who I am. So I'm not saying that that's a good or bad thing.
I'd have an F-Type over a Vantage.
Fair. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, what I'm trying to say is that they have their place in the market, but it's not just the infotainment. It's in general, they sometimes drop the ball. But having said all that, I would pay an extortionate amount of money for an old shape V12 Vantage at the minute. I love the idea of it. I want it. If I didn't sort of have an F-Type downstairs and want to continue to have an F-Type downstairs, that would be the thing that I'd be chasing is an old Vantage. I do still really like, when I came and saw that black new Vantage, there's something about that brand that makes me still lust after them. And our topic towards the end of the show, it's going to be brands that do just that, that make you want their products, but actually, in real life, maybe the products don't live up to the expectation of the brand.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to touch on and get your advice on is the fact that last week I posted the start of the hunt for my next daily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So two videos with Alexander's Prestige off the back of Andrew when he came down to do the SUV special. Went up there to kind of humour him and have a look around. Got a bit carried away and I was like, okay, it's going to happen. I'm going to replace the X3. So the hunt is on.
Good.
The hunt is on. The first thing I want to address, the elephant in the room for any sort of car search that I do on my channel, is the Stelvio Quadrifoglio.
God, it's a flipping brilliant car.
Oh my God, I know, but I'm not buying one.
Why?
Well, okay, there's quite a few reasons. Firstly,
I've got one.
I know you do. I've actually made two videos on this car before, and I've had to address this twice because every time I talk about buying a car, for some reason, the internet, or maybe just my main channel audience, goes, like, every second comment is Stelvio Quadrifoglio.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if people think that I forget about it, or I overlook it, or I don't think about it.
Great car.
Or whether it's the most popular SUV ever. I kind of know that's not the truth, because Well, you don't see many of them around. Like, it's not like people are buying them left, right, and center. And if it's so popular and people think it's so great, why are not more people buying them? Is my first question. Secondly, unfortunately, I've just never really liked it. Yes, it's a brilliant car.
No,
it's a brilliant car to drive, I admit. And it's a Giulia Quattrofoglio that's a bit more height and four-wheel drive, so quicker off the line. Like, it is great, but I don't really like the way it looks.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really like the way it looks.
No, I do like the way it looks.
Yeah, it's too small for me. I think it's like a bit too much of a shoebox on stilts.
Okay.
And I banged on so much in the first part of the hunt for my next Elly about how good the X3 is to live with. And we are going to come back to tech and infotainment. And a lot of people sort of went in going, oh, this guy's always bang on about, it's so boring. You know, what about what the car's like to drive? Who cares about the sound system? I do. Mm. Because that X3, I've done 20,000 miles or something like that.
Have you?
Yeah,
20,000 miles. Oh, you've had a bath there, yeah. Boy.
You know me and losing money on cars.
You didn't tell me about that. How many men said to me the other day, how much do you reckon my car's worth? So I blurted out a figure. Well, take $3,000 or $4,000 off that, okay, now, because you've just told me how many miles you've done.
I've done quite a few miles on it. Yeah. And you know, that is, I mean, driving to film other stuff, long motorway distances, up and down from my parents to drop Twiggy or something like that, popping around London. You know, I just live in that car. It's not an exciting thing. It's just my daily cruiser. And so having great sound systems and tech is very important. And the Stelvio Quattrofoglio, unfortunately, doesn't have that. Mm. It's just not up to date. It doesn't compete. And so, I don't know, for me, it's definitely not the car I'm going to be getting. I understand maybe people think it's the ultimate car for me. Maybe it's Italian, it's got the sort of baby Ferrari engine in it, sounds good, looks good, it's quirky. So maybe people think, oh, that's exactly what he wants. But unfortunately, it's not. And I have made that content before. Okay, fair enough, 3 years ago now, something like that. But I just wanted to clear the air on that.
But I think you're not a minority. I think you're a majority, because apparently what I do for a living, honestly, nowadays, mate, it's one of the first thing people ask, as in, has it got Apple CarPlay? Has it got wireless charging? Does it do this? Does it do that? And the Stelvio has got most of them things. Not sure about wireless charging, but it's got Apple CarPlay, although I think it's an option, but our particular car has got it. But it is really important for, especially in the SUV market, which is why I have a problem with the DBX for that reason, because it's not a car in that market. Because of the choice you have, in my opinion, it's got to be perfect, absolutely perfect. And the market that you're in for your car, your world's your oyster, mate. You can have anything. The only thing I'll say about the Stelvio is that you are a special, different sort of person that buys an Alfa in general, mate. Like you are so focused on the brand or the way that something looks exterior,
or the driving experience.
The driving experience, you will substitute, because it's got loads more character than the German car, by the way.
Of course.
And some people will really just look for that, as opposed to, I don't care if it hasn't got touchscreen or it hasn't got this and it hasn't
the
got that.
Size and it's got boot space. And
it's got analytic dials and you know, because everything's digital now.
Of course.
But
what do you mean by analytic dials?
Analog,
okay.
Yeah, sorry. Analytic. That's a YouTube phrase. I'm a YouTuber
just
now.
Just to check. I was going to let you. I was going, oh, it's analytic dials.
Yeah.
I should probably just
thank
ask
you for questioning me. Yeah. People go in on me about that.
No. Well, it's more that I was going to write that down and bring it up in conversation. I think maybe I shouldn't. But no, you're right. And these are things that, you know, people, it's the look and feel beyond anything. You know, we're all carrying around devices in our pocket now, which are more powerful, more beautifully designed, more capable than any computer or laptop that we had 2 or 3 years ago. And so when you step into a car, it's got to have that similar look and feel.
Well, it's got to have it on the screen.
It's got to have it on the screen. Yeah. So, you know, anything that then sort of feels a bit dated or old or chunky, you know, I say, for me, it's not my kind of thing. And unfortunately, the four cars that I test drove with Alexander's also weren't really. So I did a Range Rover Sport, the SDV8, beautiful, beautiful spec. But
wrong engine.
Oh, yeah, but I quite like, you know me. I'm an idiot.
Odd.
But also, you know that my dad's had 300 or 400 of them. And I just felt, I just felt like my dad driving it. So, no other kind of thing. GLC 63.
Too bumpy.
Yeah, I didn't get to have a real go in it, but it is too stiff. Like, yes, I would love one if I didn't have any other sports cars, but you've got to remember what I actually want is a comfortable, luxurious cruiser. Mm. I'm not looking for a sports car. I've got the F-Type and the 360.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for something just to wall around in. And the whole point I got the X3 was that when I turned up to do test drives or film cars, I'd get into those cars and go, wow, I don't want to turn up to a test drive in a car that's better than the car I'm test driving.
Yeah, there is one other consideration that you need. You have a wife that occasionally drives it.
Yes, I have a wife that occasionally drives it, so she needs to be happy. She likes to be high up in an SUV, but she also likes cars that are just easy to drive. She's not looking to be in a sports car. The Macan Turbo was fantastic, as you would expect, but I've never bonded with Macans. It's not really my thing. And the Defender 90, we've been through it over and over again. Yes, I still really want one. Should I buy one? No. Do I want to? Yes. Could I live with one? I don't know.
Well, it's not very good.
Oh, no, but it's great at the same time. Anyway,
right.
Before we go on this, because we don't
know. Isn't it really weird that you'd have a Defender, but you won't have a Stelvio?
Yes, that is weird, isn't it?
It is very odd.
Because... No, actually, I don't
Because the Stelvio will drive loads better than the
Defender. Oh, a mile better.
Miles better.
But I prefer the look and the feel of a Defender inside and out. I prefer the interior tech, the screens and stuff. Okay, the spaces are similarly small and... I mean, the Defender's less practical.
Why don't you just get a Discovery? I mean, it's
no.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It's just a snob, mate.
What I thought I'd do is share with you my latest Auto Trader saved list to get your thoughts as to where we get from
going.
Here.
Because,
get me going. Because, there's going to be more test drives that need to happen, but I thought I'd share with some of my most recent thoughts. Now, maybe the least boring in terms of...
save list on Auto Trader.
Of course, don't you?
No.
It's going to go on a while, by the way. The most boring but obvious choice. X5.
Yeah, because, we spoke about that. That's just a step up from what you've got.
Exactly, and I love what I've got.
Yeah.
M50D with the M Performance Aero kit.
M Performance pack, yeah.
But with the whole aero, I want everything. I want the stupid bumpers and the exhaust tailpipes and like, Larry.
All right.
Cool car. SQ8 Audi. V8 TDI.
SQ8, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I've saved quite a few Defenders. Panamera 4S Hybrid.
Hello. Sport Turismo.
Sport Turismo, yeah. Oh, so the wagon one.
I spoke to you about this car. That is a proper car, that.
The thing which worries me about estates is that I would go for an estate. I don't think Vicky would love an estate. Now, I think I could convince her. I think the Panamera, they are big cars.
Very big, yeah. As long as a Range Rover.
Long and wide. Mm. And because you're sitting low, it feels large.
Feels bigger.
And so driving in and around London... Maybe inherently too big feeling, but then I've got the hybrid. That's what I liked about it. I thought, that's good forward thinking of me.
It's a very good car. Lovely place to sit, that car.
How comfy are they?
No, lovely.
Lovely?
Yeah. We've had a few of them as a proper car.
So they're expensive. And
it drives like a Porsche as well. For a big car, it drives like a Porsche.
It scratches my Porsche itch. Because you know what's going to happen to me? Over all of 2022, I'm going to be saying to Tony, I want another Porsche. So if I got a Panamera... But Vicky would have to test drive it, and I just worry she's not going to like it that much.
No, you won't get a Panamera.
I don't think I will. No. Now, these are the front runners at the moment. It's going to surprise you. GLE 53. Ooh, hybrid again. Mild hybrid technology. It's got stance. It's big. It's chunky. It's new Merc. It's not all the money for a brand new, like, 2020, 2021 car.
Drive one.
No.
Oh, you're not going to like it.
Really? Why not?
Very wallowy. It's a bit of a boat.
Mm.
I think. Go and drive one.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a boat, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
What about the E53, the wagon?
But then if you said to me, get an E53 or a Panamera, I'd say a Panamera.
Yeah, I would too.
So I'd take that out. Throw that in the bench.
Would
it
be wallowy? I thought it'd be all right. I watched Rockin'. I watched Remove Before Races, and he was all right about it.
All right. Well, he's a big Merc fan, though.
He is.
Oh, that's it then. He's going to say everything nice about Merc.
Oh, I've saved a Cayenne, but I don't want a Cayenne, so let's get rid of that. What else have I got on here? I could get a Panamera Turbo S Sport Turismo, 90 grand, but the financing is insane, so...
In terms of residuals.
Residuals. So the money sort of... This is the weird part, and I should do something with magnitude on this, really, probably, because an M30D X5, the monthlies aren't too dissimilar to a Panamera Sport Turismo, depending on deposit levels and residuals like that, but like...
There'd be a couple of reasons behind that. The Panamera is slightly older, so in terms of depreciation, it will depreciate less, so the balloon... and the figure that you're paying off will won't be, the gap won't be so big. Whereas an X5, the depreciation is still quite high because you're looking at quite a new car,
yeah,
and the residual will be low. So that's why your monthly payment's high.
So you can play around with it. And then the Hail Mary. You're going to get a few. Because here's my thinking, right?
Please don't make me walk out.
But so I got the F-Type, got the 360. But the car I actually spend the most time in is the X3.
Yeah, we've established this.
So surely the car I should almost allow myself to spend the most money on is the car I spend the most time in. So should I not just Hail Mary it, get the mortgage application through, and then just spend all the rest of the money on the daily?
Like?
Alpina B5 Touring.
No!
Come on, Tony. We love the M5. This is essentially an M5 Touring, but it's Alpina, so it's luxe. It's plush. It looks the bomb. There's one which is green and tan on the internet. 110 grand.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, if you're going to wait for a touring, flipping hell, what's wrong
with
you?
Come on! What a car!
No, it's not what a car. If you're going to wait for a touring...
Get a Bentayga.
But no! If you're going to wait for a touring, wait for the M3.
No, touring. No, no. Ugly, too small, too bumpy, too focused. I want
It's
Lux.
Not bumpy.
No, it's not actually. You're right, because the new 3 Series has got that nice comfort setting, doesn't it? The new M3.
All day long, I'd have that M3.
No, because that's going to be 100 grand anyway. Might as well get the B5 Touring.
Why?
Because what a whip! It's what? Alpina! It's green and tan!
And then you go on about who buys the Stelvio. I mean, who buys one of them B3? Okay, so, I've never seen one. So, I didn't even know what it was for. It was a bus.
It's an insight into the weekend that I've had literally sitting on Auto Trader. So this is my players, like, you know, sensible or discreet.
How much is one of them a month?
Oh, I don't even know. It's 110 grand. It's going to be, 1,500
quid
minimum?
If you think the X5's a few quid, put some money on top. Because
Well, and the other problem is, which I'm trying to pace myself on, is resale. I've done so well. I've been so lucky with that X3 because it's so in demand, apart from my mileage, which thanks for telling me. you know, the values have stayed fairly high. I got in well. And it's if I bought a B5 Touring Alpina brand new at 110 grand, it will be worth 90. Like in a week.
Oh no. And another thing, the new house that you're going to buy, you're going to have to remortgage it straight away to pay for depreciation on your B5.
No, I know. So that's why, again, I'm now like flying the flag. The problem with Panameras, I actually don't think I really want a Panamera. Like it ticks a lot of boxes, but I'm not sure I actually want one.
But you never, did you really, really, really want that X3?
Yes, when I bought it, I did really want one. I didn't know of everything. If I'm really honest with myself, and this is the least, a lot of people are going to go, ugh, the car I probably do want the most is an M50D X5 with all the kit.
Well, get that then.
I know, but I'm a bit like...
Well, what bit like what? So,
is that a bit boring?
Well, everything you've just read out is potentially boring. I mean, I don't really...
I'm going to ruin your life for the next few months on this. I hope you realise.
You've been ruining my life for the last 5 years.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on. Quickly wanted to touch... Oh, well, let's come back to that in a second.
What?
812 Competizione. Oh, reviews. Yeah. Oh. Have you had a chance to see any?
You did ask me to fucking watch one. So sorry about the language. You did ask me to watch one.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been very busy, mate.
No, that's fine. Well, comes as no surprise. Everyone said it's amazing. Classic Ferrari. They seem to invite 5 of the top UK magazines, probably some other people as well. some quite, well, I guess for, I'm trying to think who I watched. I watched Matt Pryor. I watched, who else did I watch? I watched a few other people. I think I watched about three videos in the end. Ah, the car looks amazing. The car, they all said it's brilliant. They all said it's incredible. It's much more easy to drive than a TDF. Sounds the bomb. Nuts fast. Rear wheel steer is sometimes a little interesting, but you get used to it.
You do get used to it.
I mean, I guess we weren't expecting anything different.
No.
Just mega bit of kit.
Yeah. And journalists in general, they never really say, there's not many of them. There's a few, but there's not many that don't say bad things about cars. That, you know, that most of them say just good things all the time. Don't
I disagree.
No, I don't.
I would say that I'd say YouTubers mostly say good things. I say journalists.
No. But if you put them into the mix as well, there are some journalists and YouTube that actually tell the truth. But in general, I think they all just say good all the time.
I disagree. I mean, for journalists, I disagree. I think they're inherently much more... Okay, stick anyone on a Ferrari press drive. Most people are pretty nice because it's Ferrari. Most people want to get invited back. And if you say nasty things, you don't just not get invited back. You get spat on the way to the airport. Fine, but I think most journalists are more credible in their reviews than YouTubers.
They're more credible.
As in, sorry, and Chris Scott, as in, not credible, as in more honest. I genuinely think journalists are more honest in their reviews. I think sometimes it's unnecessary. Like, if I'm honest, I would have far rather seen Harry Metcalf take an 812 competence journey through the Alps than watching Matt Pryor around Fiorano following Raffaele Di Simone. Because what did I learn? That Matt Pryor had to concentrate quite a lot and the car was really quick around Fiorano.
But so if you think they're more critical, is that because do you think they're more educated than a YouTuber?
Yes, I think
in what they're saying, because they have to be a proper journalist.
Of course.
There's steps you can't just be a journalist.
Their job is to analyse the car, is to tell their audience, their integrity and their job, their reason they'll sell magazines on, people are going to read that review to understand what that car is like. I'm only talking for me. My job is to hopefully bring my audience along with me on the adventure of spending time with cars, going places in cars. I don't pitch my channel as come to watch my channel to decide whether to buy a car or not. I will always tell people what I'm experiencing. Most of the time, I will enjoy any driving experience because it's better than sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
A journalist's job is to get there and analyse whether that car is better than the previous one, how it compares to its competitors, you know, the foibles of it, the pros and cons, the understeer, the oversteer, the way it rides the bumps. I'm like, does it sound good? Does it make me smile?
Yeah, you know.
So I think it's a... And therefore, I think journalists are more... Yeah, I think they are more
critical. I think they're more geared up for it. Maybe they're just not professional, but maybe they're just more trained at doing that. And maybe they are being critical, but because they're professional, maybe they don't necessarily come across because they're trained at it. Maybe I don't know. But whenever I watch a journalist reviewing a car, there are exceptions, by the way. But when I always listen, I always think, flipping hell, are you going to say anything bad about it?
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, I drove a DB5 recently, right? And in the build-up to the DB5, I wanted to just watch some videos just to get some knowledge so I could spit out a few facts. And almost every single journalistic review I watched, everyone was like, they're not that good to drive.
No.
Mate, it was epic. I was driving James Bond's car. It sounded good. It felt cool. I had a wooden steering on my hand. I lit the bomb. It went like... it's not definitely not my job, and I'm definitely not in a position to go, but compared to the 250 short wheelbase, the turning isn't fantastic. You're like, who cares? It's the DB5. Like, I mean, that's at least me, where I think, as I say, I watch journalistic content, and they're like, you know, the gear ratios weren't fantastic, and the speed. I'm like, who cares? It's a DB5.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to go and race it at Goodwood Revival, who gives a crap?
Well, if you did, you wouldn't be going very fast.
No, you wouldn't. It's got the DB4 GT. Anyway, so just wanted to touch on that recently because I thought, you know, very cool. And they released that new bespoke Ferrari, that BP, the thing based on the Lusso that I thought was actually quite ugly. They do it every now and again, don't they?
Yeah, just go and buy a 812.
Okay.
Basically. Cool. Yeah.
No, fine. It was, you know, each to their own.
Yeah.
So, main topic for the day then. Which, oh, actually, you know what? Before we come onto it quickly, can I tell you about my Etihad experience?
Of course you can.
So I went, this was actually quite a long time ago now, but the video just came out. Etihad, one of some commercial work I did with them, reached out, hired me for a job to be part of this film that they're doing to help celebrate the UAE's 50th anniversary. 50
and what was you doing
UAE?
In that old car rattling around there like that? That what old, was all that about? That old what's single he seater. Doing?
So the premise of the content was that they're highlighting five different parts of the UAE, you know, tourism, restaurants, whatever. And then within sport, they want to use motorsport because obviously they get the Formula One coming in. They've got the Yas Marina circuit. And so they wanted to invite someone from around the world to Abu Dhabi to be hosted by an Emirati and have an amazing experience and an amazing time. So that's the premise of the content. So Amna, and I'm so sorry, I cannot pronounce Amna's surname, so I'm just going to skip past it for now, but she's the UAE's, I think she's the only UAE racing driver at the moment, but their first female racing driver. She was kind of like my host. She'd invited me to the Yas Marina circuit. They'd made a custom race suit for me. They'd branded a...
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. They branded an experience car with my name on it. Helmet had all my name on it, stuff like that. They'd put all the branding across the track. Welcome to Abu Dhabi, Sam. All this kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable.
All right, very good.
Very, very cool. And so the idea was, you know, she'd set this all up theoretically, and then she was inviting me to race out on the circuit.
And I was going to ask a stupid question, like, was she quicker than you? But of course she was.
Oh yeah, of course she was. She was racing in Formula 3.
Really?
But, yes, but this was a film, okay?
Oh.
So this is now going to take you behind the scenes. Off the back of the popularity of my YouTube behind the scenes episode that you so well, hosted so well.
Conducted.
Conducted, thank you. Conducted so well. I'll give you some insight into how these kind of things work. So this was a two-day shoot. Day one was all of the off-track stuff. Day two was supposed to be all the on-track stuff. So, you know, it's the me arriving at the circuit, you know, stepping out of the car.
Film crew.
Oh, big film crew, big production. 30-person film crew, something like that?
Not Top Gear.
Quarter of the Top Gear. So still big. And, you know, you're doing things where I had to exit the car like six different times. I had to look left, I had to look right, I had to repeat it. They got different shots, different angles. And we're filming in Abu Dhabi, and this was September time, I think. So we were like 42 degrees.
All right.
Heat. Intense.
Do you have a hat on?
I needed one. Factor 75 on the top. So go through all this, you know, just spitting out the lines. You know, it's anyway, so we're going through the process. Then we get on to day two. I turn up, I'm signing all this waiver paperwork. They're coming over. Okay, Sam, here's the plan. We're going to do the initial shots. You're going to get in the car. We're going to get you suiting up, blah, blah. Then we're going to get you on the start line and we'll drop the flags and the cars fly off. We're going to do all the tracking shots. We're going to get you carving in between, blah, blah. So I'm like, great, I can't wait. And I'll be honest, this is the part I'm excited about because day one's quite tough. Like,
well, getting in and out of a car six times, I mean, that's not fun.
It's not fun. I mean, that was the easy part. You know, so you're going through the... So day two, right, here we go. So we're sort of a couple of hours in and I get in the car on the start line. You know, doing the revving. I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, we're ready to go. And they go, okay, now rev and hold it. Okay, cut. I'm like, cool, cut thing. Okay, Sam, just jump out for 2 seconds. I go, cool, out again. And then I see, like, walking out of the pit lane, like, someone else.
A proper racing driver.
In my outfit. And it says Sam on the thing. And it's my helmet.
So good.
And I'm like, who's this coming now?
Who's this guy?
It wasn't. It was 45-year-old Giovanni, or whatever her name was, Fabrizio. Another female racing driver who was an instructor for Yas Marina. She comes over. She gets in my car. And they go, cool, thanks, Sam. If you just could take a seat over there. And I'm like,
didn't even tell.
And she goes, she flies up. I didn't get to do any of the racing.
You didn't go in a car?
I did, I went out, we did like 10 laps, super slow speed for like the camera to come. But all the like fun stuff, the burnout, no, I wasn't given permission because Amna's car was so valuable, their proper F3 race car. They didn't have the insurances in place for a non-professional racing driver to be on track with her at the same time.
Right.
So a disaster, mate. I was like, come on, but... Watch the film, you'd have no idea.
Well, actually, when you look at some of these production films as well, like James Bond is a good example, some Top Gear stuff
Of course.
You know, when they cut to, not Chris, because he will do all the driving for sure, but when they cut to Paddy and
Freddie,
all the real stunt stuff be done by drivers.
Because
they're presenters, mate. They won't be able to drive like that. And as well, like when you watch all the films... That'll be the same. Like Daniel Craig can't drive. He can't drive a car like that. No chance.
Exactly. So
he's an actor.
Turns out I can't either. I wish I could remember her name, but yeah,
you should have gone, no, I can't do it, please.
That's why I kept saying, oh, you know, I have driven a Formula One car before. So a little insight
10%
for you.
10% power.
No, it wasn't, mate. It was 90%. Go do no, one. When was the last time you drove a Formula One car?
I'll be faster than you.
No, you would not. Bring it. We'll set that up.
Set it up. Easy.
You're such a prick. Anyway, let's come on to our, main topic. Brands that we think, automotive brands we're talking about, manufacturers we're talking about, that maybe have appeal that isn't warranted, or people lust after them when actually if you bought that product, would the experience live up to the badge?
Oh.
And I'm actually discounting Aston Martin from this conversation.
Because we know it's in.
We know it's in. And we've bashed them so many times. And it's not fair, because I actually love that brand.
Yeah.
And I would argue that a lot of their products, like Rapid AMR, what a dream. So, shelved.
And wait a minute. I'm going to say something nice, right? Because in the last week or so, I've driven Aston Martin, or Aston Martin, more than I have any other car, right? You've
turned up in Advantage today?
I've turned up in Advantage today. And that's because it's still taxed and I haven't got a car to drive. So I've just jumped in that.
Insides of a dealer's life.
But I will say one thing very positive about that car. Wherever you go in an Aston Martin, wherever you go, mate, whether you're getting out a coffee shop, petrol station, sitting in traffic, all you get is lovely car that, mate. They honestly do not care that you probably won't be able to get back in it, or it won't start.
Or the door will fall off.
Whatever, for whatever reason. But honestly, I would say I've been more well received over the last week than I have for probably the last 5 years.
And that's brand value. That's what I'm tapping into. I've just noticed that my battery's quite low on my laptop. So maybe I just go and get the charger because I don't want to get cut off. I feel like it's going to be a good topic.
Okay, it will be so, very good, so because I've got a real controversial one as
well.
Oh, wow.
Okay, give me 2 seconds. Maybe sing a song or perform some kind of act. It's going to take me 2 seconds. I don't want to
sing a song.
Just do something.
Well, I can't really sing.
Entertain the audience.
And say what? What can I talk about? Well, I'd like to talk about the F1, but I can't really talk about that, can I? Can I? So basically, Lewis Hamilton is the best driver ever and he's going to win 8th World Championship and I've got a bet on him to win. And what else can I say about him? Max Verstappen drive.
No, oh my God. I leave you in charge. I mean, so you know we've got our target of 50,000 subscribers by the end of the year.
Yeah, be 40,000.
I think we lost 500 at the start of the week. Max Verstappen supporters, because of how harsh we are. We now just lost another 2,000, so thank you. Okay, so if you said you had a nice controversial one to kick things off with, why don't you crack on? Tell me, what is the first automotive brand you think is overrated?
Tesla.
Well, I don't think we've lost another 5,000, but comment section's about to
I think we might have gained another 5,000. The comment section.
Go on, bring
well,
it.
No. Mate, it's a terrible product. It is a absolute, dare I say, car crash of a product. It is, honestly, if you get in one, apart from this lovely screen, which if something happens, you have to send an email for them to download another one for you. It is honestly horrendous in there.
Why?
It's not built properly.
In what sense?
Well, I assume quality, because Elon Musk has all the money. That's why he's the richest man in the world.
All the money.
Well done, everyone.
I would have to disagree with you.
Why?
Because when it comes to EVs, I think they are miles ahead in, well, we know infrastructure, but in terms of
going for longer.
Of course. So they're done. And the inherent cult-like nature of Tesla owners. It's a bit like iPhone. Anyone that owns a Tesla, no, but they, in terms of mentality, anyone that owns an iPhone will say, well, how could you not own an iPhone? Or, anyone who owns a Tesla will only ever sing praises about Teslas. You know, so it's the best thing in the world. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. And so therefore, it goes back against the whole point. We're talking about brands that people aspire to own or think are brilliant.
Well, that's what the modern generation are going to do.
Well, no, but then get the product and go, actually, it's not that great. But every single Tesla owner I've ever met has spent an hour telling me why it's the best car in the world.
Well, mainly because they're Greenpeace. And
no,
that's why
not because they're Greenpeace. Yes, look at Tim from Magnitude. He's not Greenpeace.
Well, he never comes down here because he can't.
No, but he can. Like,
comes down on the train.
Fundamentally, Tesla owners love Teslas more than anyone else in the entire world. Once you're in, once you're hooked, you're happy. In comparison to, not a Lamborghini. I'm trying to think of another, you know, Aston, McLaren owner. McLaren owners, yes, here we go. If we're not bashing Aston, we're bashing McLarens. The amount of people that go, oh, I'd love a McLaren, buy it, it falls apart and they sell it 3 months later.
But that's what people say about Tesla.
No, they don't.
I love a Tesla.
Mate, but then they get them and they love them.
I mean, I don't know if they do, mate.
They do,
they're
mate.
They're in them for Greenpeace, for saving the world.
No. Well, good on them. Well done.
Well, yeah.
Because we're not doing any good.
Well, you're not actually saving the world, though, because of the carbon
emissions for creating them.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, another story.
So all you're doing is lining Elon Musk's pockets, and when actually... Fair play to him, because he is an absolute genius, that man.
To cash
because
in.
He had the foresight to realise 20 years ago that I need to build an electric car because that is going to be the future.
Yeah, I'll be ahead of everyone else.
I'm going to be ahead of everyone.
Put the infrastructure in place because that's going to be the key. Yeah.
Yeah, because that is a good part of it.
Mm.
Elon Musk is the good part of it. The actual product is a disaster.
Well, okay, so here's the part I'll agree with you on. Firstly, because of the price point, even is it the Model 3, the baby one? The Model 3 is the entry one.
Do you know what as well?
Hold on a second, don't jump. Well, I had a point.
No, go on.
Is the Model 3 the entry level one?
Yes. You're flapping, weren't you?
Yeah. No, because I just want to get this out, because I know you're on a roll. I'm trying to control you a little bit, which is impossible to do. The seating, those kind of elements... Crap, you know, useless. Terrible. In comparison to the competitors. But as...
Please don't say as a car. This doesn't work.
No, but it does work. When do Teslas brake?
Yes.
Really? Apart from the auto drive crashing into people, what else goes wrong?
Well, what do you mean, apart from? Well, it brakes. That's just one thing.
Do they?
Paul nearly died in one.
Oh, Paul did nearly die in one.
Yeah. Like, literally nearly died in one. Mate, they self-combust when they feel like it.
No, but have you made that up?
What?
Go on the
internet and say, a Tesla's on fire. I mean, there won't be enough room on that computer.
Tesla's burning down.
Burning down? Oh, it's not a building.
Model S played reportedly catches fire.
Yeah,
video
yeah.
shows Tesla Model S bursting into flames. Two men killed and burst. Okay, fine. Yeah. How many Teslas burned down? In 2019, there were almost 190,000 vehicle fires in the US alone. Only a tiny fraction of them involving EVs.
Yeah, because that's a tiny fraction of the market.
But there has been approximately one Tesla vehicle fire for every 205 miles travelled.
Right.
No, 205 million miles. Sorry, I was going to say. Anyway, well, let's move on, because I...
No, let's not. Wait, I've got one more thing to say. You know when you pull up at Satellites and you've got one of them Tesla people in beside you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're looking at you and they're thinking, they're 60 and under 3 seconds. I had one the other day in the Vantage, looking at me. I've got no interest in him going from 0 to 30 or 0 to 60. No interest. I know what car, and this is me. I'm in an Aston Martin in a Vantage. Mm-hmm. I still know what car I'd rather be in. And then he's looked at me, give me a dirty look and sodded off. Like, oh yeah, well.
Look
how fast I can accelerate to 30. Like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Like that's what they literally, that is what the Tesla people think. It's almost like.
Because I can accelerate real fast. But that's what I mean.
Who cares?
But that's the whole point, is that Tesla people are like that. Once they're in, they are so happy and they love it. And therefore, it's not doing what we're saying. Okay,
why are you happy? Because you can accelerate to 0 to 30.
Sure, good on them. Crack on. Moving on. Because we'll never get off this. We're going to... This is a BMW 2 Series sort of thing.
Comment section.
I'm not doing this again. I learnt my lesson. Maserati. Maybe not so much now, because I actually think the products, and I think people have caught wind of the fact that Maserati are a bit behind the times, and they've, you know, we haven't got a new Gran Turismo yet, but let's go 5 years ago when Gran Turismo was still being made from factory. I think people thought, Maserati, what a brand, what an icon, that car sounds so good from the outside, it looks so cool. Then the car turned up and it was a bit heavy, it was a bit slow. Yes, it made a good noise, but the interior was a bit dated. I think people felt let down. Well, yeah, very dated. And same with, I'm now trying to think of the rest of the range, and Ghibli's, Levante, I think, is all right, but Quattroporte.
I completely agree with
you. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's definitely one of the ones that I thought of.
Okay. As a brand that people think that they would want or represent a certain thing, but actually the product would probably feel a little bit yeah. of a letdown.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad we could agree on one. Got any others?
McLaren?
Yeah. I mean, I think McLaren actually has to steal. At the moment, right now, let's see if Audi are going to come in. Hey, saviour of the day. There are some exceptions.
Really?
No, probably not. But yeah, I think McLaren would be the one that would let most people down. I think most people would assume. Having said, as an owner, because I think having said that, if you had a McLaren and if you got a ride in a McLaren, you'd probably go, oh, this is mega. But to live with, to own, I think people would feel
like that. And it is actually one of the most frustrating as well, because potentially that car, or McLaren, absolutely blow the other manufacturers away in terms of how they develop their cars. But because of the build quality, because of the way they treat their customers, which is a
after
real...
After service, after sales,
thank you. Which is a real problem for me when you're trying to get... $200,000 plus off of someone, and then once you've taken their money, you have absolutely no care about what you've given them, essentially. That's the biggest one for me. The way they're put together, the reliability issues, the electrical issues they have, as a whole package, there just isn't much going from at all. You know, like, even some manufacturers do some things right, but it's just that McLaren doesn't seem to do anything right.
Apart from deliver a great car on a twisty road on its day.
When it works.
Yeah.
When
it all comes together. Yeah.
And like 10 or 15 years ago, that was kind of acceptable, because if you go back in the day, Ferraris were like that, mate. Lamborghinis were like that. But we're not in the 1990s anymore. We're in 2021, where everything now, we're in a perfect world, essentially, you know, hypothetically speaking.
So things are so good that
everything is so good now. You have so much choices, so much competition in all walks of life. You've got to be the best at what you do.
Agreed.
And they're just not.
So I'm going to leave it with a super controversial one. Porsche 911.
What? Well, hold on a minute. I've
said a model, not a brand, but anyway.
What do you mean a model?
I mean specifically the 911.
Yeah, but that's the best sports car ever made. I don't really understand where you're going. You've literally said that just to wind me up.
No, I haven't.
You have?
Bear with me. Non-GT product 911s, I think some people, maybe not all, but some people find disappointing. I think a lot of people buy the 911 assuming it's going to be the one-stop shop, do everything perfectly, it'll be fantastic. It's a Porsche 911, and after 6 months or a year, they're bored.
But
is that you sort of agreeing with me? No, it's not,
because I can think of 911s down the years that actually weren't very good. The 996 wasn't a very good 911 in general. But I sort of hear what you're saying. The only thing I will say is that in general, mate, cars are more boring now because they're so good. And as well, Porsche as a brand, it appeals to so many different people, that 911. From all walks of life, whether you're 70 years old, whether you're a 22-year-old broker in the city, whether you're a family man, a second car, whether you're another family man that wants to treat himself for the weekend and he's got two small children that he can lob in the back. It suits everyone. And because it suits everyone, it's so perfect, it's its downfall.
Agreed. That's what I'm saying, is that I think it's so good that it can become bland. And I think, hey, GT product cars, a slightly different story. But from 997 forward, 997, 997.2, 991, 991.2, if you buy a Carrera S thinking it's a bloody 911, Porsche, it's a vibe, I think a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, but I think there are a group of people that would actually feel a bit disappointed, feel a bit like, oh, I'm not getting what I thought I'd be getting, or I'm quite excited by the idea now of a 430 or a Vantage, or, you know, something with a bit more personality.
And I kind of get what you're saying, because there will be some customers, and I can think of a couple of brands, Lotus is a brand, where they would get in a 911 and they won't like it, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. But I know for absolute certain that most Porsche people couldn't think of anything worse than getting in a Lotus.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's lots of different examples of that. But the 911, mate, is a go-to sports car. It is the best sports car on the market. And maybe, I get your point, because it is the best and it's so good, I get your point. But I think the point is that they make it for so many different people, which is why it's kind of probably got to be a little bit safe. It's a safe car.
Yeah. Well, look, let us know your thoughts. Put in the comment section below if you're watching here on YouTube. Sort of brands, and I sort of went a bit model specific at the end there, but brands that you think, yeah, overrated, the products don't live up to the hype. I feel like a few of you are going to say Ferrari and I will come at you and block you. No, I'm joking. but let us know in the comment section below. We are going to wrap things up for today because we are immediately going to record a Rate My Ride special, which is going to be coming out next week, because I'm actually going to be away. I'm going to be on the road next week.
Oh, yeah.
Got an adventure in the 360.
Oh, so you won't be long then.
I sort of almost didn't want to tell you. But yeah, so we're recording two episodes today. So yeah, Rate My Ride special. Thank you so much to all of you that have submitted rides. That's already been done. So no more submissions required for this week's episode, because we're going to be recording it straight after this. And then, yeah, we'll be back with you for normal sort of episode resumption the week after that. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please give it a thumbs up here on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe, because yes, Tony and I are aiming for 50,000 subscribers by the end of the year. We did hit 46 because of the Verstappen episode. I'm not really sure exactly where we're at
now. Did we get to 46?
We got to 46, so let's see by the time this went live whether we're still at 46 or I don't know what's going on. But yeah, please do subscribe. If you're following us on, or you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, etc., keep listening there. You can follow us on those various platforms too. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media platforms. And yes, we'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.